Josh.
We back.
We're back.
Yeah. Wow.
We're back in the wiggle room again.
Yeah.
Out back.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, full Bloomin' Onion to start this one off.
All right. Well, Josh Wiggler and I are back together here in the Wiggle Room. First post-merge edition of the Wiggle Room here in Survivor 35, coming off of a great week in New York where I got to see the great Josh Wiggler in person. And Josh, always a pleasure to see you.
Rob, I have to pause for a second because I just ran over my fucking toe. And my toe is literally trapped inside of my chair right now. So, God, I just pulled it out. Oh, God, that was brutal. That was a really brutal. Like,
This is staying in.
Oh, God. Oh, hold on. Let me take off the sock and just double check that the toe is okay. Oh, my God. Oh, there. This is not a bit.
Do you need to get medically evacuated from a podcast?
No, I think that this could be a situation of losing a toenail. I've never had that happen to me before. But I was literally just readjusting in my chair, and I have a wheelie chair, and I popped a wheelie on top of my big toe that then got wedged underneath the wheel. And the entire time that you were talking about how it's been a minute since you and I have hung out, I was trying, A, not to scream in pain, and B, try to remove my toe from beneath the wheelie thing just forcibly with my foot, which made it much worse.
Yeah.
And I was waiting for you to just like stop talking so I could have like an elegant way of saying, hey, can we pause down? And you were talking for a while. And it hurt a lot.
Okay. All right, let me give you a moment to recuperate as I set up the show. Of course, Wiggle Room number 7 here of season 35. Really great show lined up for you guys today. We have a guest that we will bring in here in a moment. Nick Majorano is going to join us in the Wiggle Room, so we'll check in. We'll check in with the mayo jar. Maybe he had like a voodoo doll of you. And we'll see if we can get to the bottom of some of these disagreements that you guys
I just think it's crazy that like I'm injuring myself on like the podcast that's supposed to be like an armistice between Nick and I have already run over my own foot. Gotta imagine that was on Nick. We'll ask him about that when we bring him in here.
And then we will talk about everything from the episode, plus the wand off to come at the end of the episode. Okay, so if you want to tune out by the time we get to the wand off, that is going to be coming later on in the show. But Josh, if you are okay to proceed, I'd love to talk to you about the New York know-it-alls before we get to Nick, because he wasn't there and he won't have anything to add to this part of the conversation. But Josh, we had
suggesting that he's going to have anything to add to any part of the conversation. But yeah, let's talk know-it-alls real quick.
Okay, so in terms of the show in New York, that we had a great treat for everybody that was in attendance beforehand. And this was something that came in, unbeknownst to me, very late in the game. We had a special clip from a very significant person to play for the big crowd at Know-It-Alls in New York.
We did, from the great and powerful Oz himself. Like the
Ozzy?
Great and powerful Oz. Yeah, Ozzy was not there. Jeff Probst in the house. That was kind of fun. That was neat. I mean, I wasn't there to see it, but I heard it was great.
Yeah, it was incredible. And let me...
I would actually love for you to set up like how that played out, because I completely missed it from being in the house.
Okay, well, let me then... So, before the show... It was me and Steve, and I like to come up and say, you know, hey to everybody, you know, just like welcome everybody to the show. And so we had this clip queued up in the projection booth. So Steven didn't even know that we were going to play this. Here is the clip that we played before the know-it-alls.
Hey guys, Cesternino and Fishback, two of the smartest guys to ever play Survivor, certainly have taught me a lot about the game. How cool that you have several hundred people there to talk about a show we all love. And thanks for letting me be a part of this. And I just want to say, for those of you who don't always think we make the greatest choices or think that I'm still the worst part of the show, that's okay. We still love you. We still make the show for you. We hope you like the rest of this season, and we hope you like the big swing we took for next season. All right, guys, have a great show.
Woo! Oh my God. Wu Huang for a third chance. Who knew? Who knew? Who
knows? That ending.
Yeah, I you really got to see the video too. It's really great. It's great. The video is great too. I want to know who the cinematographer was. Like, who was the DP on the shoot? Because there's the great like swoop up, and there's Jeff Probst, and then Jeff does his woo, and the camera just like swings up into the sky.
It's a move that he'll do at the start of like a live finale. Like, hey, it's the Survivor finale. Call your friends. Here we go.
Woo! It was great. It was great. It was great. And the whole audience, the crowd really did go wild, despite what Troy Zan would lead you to believe. So that was great. That's really fun. And it went over well in the room. It played
yeah.
Well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody was really pumped up to see it. I think that people like were like getting their phones out and trying to record it. So that is the version that we ended up playing in the theater that night. So really, really great. Now, and this was because of you. I don't know if we set that up as well. And I don't even know the backstory of this. How did this happen?
I called up Jeff on my Jeff phone, and I made it happen. No Rocky policies here. No, I mean, I do the weekly column with Probst on The Hollywood Reporter, so I have a line to Jeff Probst through certain channels, and through those channels, I tossed out just the notion that, hey, just in case you guys aren't aware, there are roughly 500 Survivor fans who will be at a movie theater in New York City in a couple of days watching Survivor together and getting together for a podcast about Survivor. Pretty neat if you wanted to pass along any kind of message whatsoever.
Awesome.
You know, neat, cool. You know, if you want to say anything, if you want to just like a written message, if you want to like record like a voice memo, anything, whatever you wanted to do. And this is what we got. We got, you know, an actual like almost minute long, you know, video bit from the Probst with the most, which is really cool. I think a real testament to the fact that this guy loves Survivor fans and loves Survivor still and wants to be a part of it. And I think he's feels very proud papa towards you and Steven and what you guys have built. So it was cool. I'm really happy to have been a small part of that. It was really fun to help make that happen. It's look, if it was Know-It-Alls the movie, you can't do Know-It-Alls the movie without Jeff Probst.
Yeah, that was really awesome that he did that. And really thank you, Josh, for getting that together. I thought that Jeff did sound a little defensive, though, where he's like, I know you guys, some of you guys are really, you hate me and you don't think I'm the worst part of the show. And that's cool. I get it. I want to give Jeff a hug after that.
It's like you and I complaining about the people complaining about the wand offs every
right.
week. Yeah. It's like, just enjoy the fact that people love the wand offs. Stop complaining about the people who don't like the wand offs. It's kind of a similar thing, I think. But yeah, I would give Jeff a hug.
The same type of stuff that we get.
I think so. Pretty much. But you had a good Know-It-Alls. It was fun. It was a good time for you.
Yeah. I mean, and really that Suri really
made
the show. And that was really fantastic to have her there for. And she everybody just like unanimously said, oh, my God, I can't believe I met Suri. She was just like how I thought she was going to be. So she really stole the entire show.
It's amazing to the you know, I talk about how like the Survivor gods have like this cosmic sense of humor where things just sort of tend to align. And I think it's just so fun that you had Suri, the legendary healer, you know, Nurse Suri on the Know-It-Alls the night that Nurse Jessica goes home. I thought it was just it's just so funny how these little things align. Like, I really would have thought it would have been great if JP had gone home during Thor Ragnarok week, that kind of feel. Like, I think like this is just this kind of thing happens sometimes where the stars just align in the weirdest way. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm heartbroken that Jessica is gone, and I'm so sorry for you, Rob, that the that your winner pick has been taken out of the mix. My winner pick 1 week and yours the next. It's a bad week for us here.
Back to back.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And I really was actually starting to like quietly feel like Jessica was going to be the winner of this season. I was really starting to drink the Kool-Aid there. So I was stunned and disappointed that we lost Jessica here. But just so strange and so amazing that it happens the same night that Sari is on the podcast. It's just a wild thing to me.
Now, Jessica had a pretty interesting story in this season and maybe one of the most defined stories of any of the characters of this season. In that she ultimately was this person who came into the season and a little bit of a stranger to the romance, and she ends up sort of, based on what we saw on the show, falling for this guy in her tribe who ultimately, that her association with him is going to play a big part in why she is ultimately targeted. I know we haven't beat that drum particularly hard on the Wiggle Room this season, but what did you make of the 7-episode arc of Jessica?
I was really, and I'm sure that she's bummed about it too, about the fact that most of her story is just so tied to Cole. And Jessica, as she said to you, as she said to me in her exit press, you know, talked about like, I'm not going to come on here and say that like there was no showmance with Cole and that was all fake and that was all fake news. It was legit, like that was happening and that was real. But the other aspect of her relationship with Cole that I think that she was pretty wise in pursuing was seeing Cole as somebody who is rubbing people the wrong way, somebody whose shenanigans with the food was really grinding a bunch of people's gears, and that Cole could potentially be a really powerful shield to bring along deep into the game and somebody that she would be very happy to go up against at the end, somebody who she felt she could beat and somebody who she felt that she could trust. So I think that her aligning with Cole was really wise in a lot of levels, but I think also just like the obviousness of how close they were, maybe not so great. I do believe, given the chance and the right circumstances, I do think you could have seen the situation where Jessica would have cut Cole. I don't think that it was a thing where she never would have voted for Cole. I just think she never had that shot. You know, she got taken out at her first tribal council, first and only, which is, you know, devastating. That's a terrible, terrible thing. And I think if she had had that chance, like if what Rourke had set up, you know, when she was talking in her exit press about if the healers had thrown a challenge or if they had lost a pre-merge challenge, they may have blindsided Cole as a means of getting Jaden Mena, that this could have been a way of solidifying that alliance, that closeness a little bit more. So I think that Jessica was playing a much better game than I think that she was probably portrayed as playing. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, I think it's very fair.
I am feeling like the queen bee at this point.
I also think Jessica would be beneficial right now because I like my toe really feels terrible. Like
she can help you. She can help you. Dr. Mike wouldn't hurt either.
Oh my God. I have a camelback filled with ice water that I am applying to my toe right now. That is the fix that we've got going on right here.
Yeah. I want to go back actually to your interview.
Does Rob has a health insurance plan? Is that going to cover this if I'm injured on the job?
No. I don't know. We'll see.
We got to talk about this offline.
We'll see about that. Okay. So I want to go back to your interview with Jeff from last week, because I thought it was interesting that you guys broke down all of the remaining players in the game. And this is what Jeff had to say about Jessica from last week, coming into what will ultimately be her boot episode. He says, I'm not breaking any news with this, but Jessica's biggest issue is her inability to separate infatuation from strategy. I think that the entire audience is yelling, what are you doing? She continues to trust Cole with information, and Cole continues to try and use that information to his advantage. Time to cut the cord and start playing her own game. And then, of course, the always on the ball people on Reddit ended up grabbing a response from her. And I'm not sure on which social media channel she responded to what Jeff had to say, but she said, Survivor World, whom I have grown to love, one can't cut a cord with anyone if the opportunity has not presented itself. Much love.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. You know, I think that that's fair. But I also think that the way that the merge was shaking out and the way that, you know, people's relationships were starting to crystallize as this was the group that would come to this merge beach. I don't know that in her perspective, like, what's the move to cut Cole right away? So, like, I just don't think that she ever had the shot. And I think it was a very wise move from the Irma Gerd, the Hustlers Alliance. You know, I think it was – that's what I've been calling the Heroes and the Hustlers. I think that the Hustlers were really wise to target Jessica as somebody who would be unprotected at that vote, somebody who would not be idled, you know, somebody who would not be in possession of an idol and would probably not get an idol played for her on that vote with both Cole and Joe exposed. So I think it was a great play by everybody who voted against Jessica to vote her out there. But given the chance, like, I really do think that if it had been the wisest move for her, I do believe Jessica, you know, having talked to her, you know, in the pregame and talking to her on the exit interview, I really think that she has a savvy player lurking within her. And I think that that savvy player was playing the game. And I don't know how much of that we really saw. I mean, she did narrate a lot of the Cole hate, not quite hate from her, but like a lot of like, what are you doing? Why are you telling these people this thing? So even in like the love goggles edit that she may have been receiving, I do think that she was still allowed to comment on the fact that this was kind of a ridiculous situation that was going on with Cole.
Okay, so as one showmance fizzled on Survivor this season, in the preseason, we were introduced to another showmance, and that was the major man crush that you had on Survivor Dev.
Ah, man, I love me some Devin Pintz. And he had a great week, I think. I feel like Devin's doing really well. Listen, let's talk this through. Let's hash this out really quickly. When we were doing our preseason conversations, our speed dating conversations, where you and I would talk around the speed dating interviews I did with all these players, I was really hyping up the Devin Pinto. And when we finished it, you thought he was a little more Taylor than Jay. Mm-hmm. Where are you now on that? Is he more Jay than Taylor at least?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, okay, that he has been a fine Survivor player. I mean, I have not formed my own man crush on Dev. Not my type.
That's fine.
For Survivor Devin, no, he has been very good. And once he bounced back to life, I thought he had a pretty decent episode.
Yeah, but it took a minute for him to bounce back to life. We really were living through The Walking Dev for a minute there. You know, that first sequence that we're getting in this episode. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we saw Zombie Dev walking around.
Norman Reedus as Devin Pinto.
Yeah.
Wanda! I believe that was in the Evolution of Strategy, I think. I don't know. We did one of those once upon a
time. Yeah. I have some quotes from Zombie Dev from this episode. He was not feeling well, Josh.
My brain feels dead.
Well, a zombie would say that, wouldn't he? You know, if a zombie could talk. I guess if this was iZombie, where zombies do speak.
My brain feels dead, and every single one of my limbs feels like it weighs like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah, poor Devin.
I mean, that really is the Walker edit, I think, we are looking at pretty strongly there.
Yeah.
No, I felt bad for him. And I mean, that image of him just like slowly walking through the camp. And I turned that into a GIF and tweeted that out the day after the episode, because it's so funny. You have like Desi and Ashley are sitting in their, you know, in their shelter, and like a very much zombified Devin Pinto comes stalking from around the corner, and they're so casual and calm as he is slowly approaching them. And you could just imagine, like, if this was that classic zombie scenario of like these survivors made it to a deserted island to escape like the mainland terror of the zombie apocalypse, that they had just like one stray walker, that they would have
this is better than Red Machete.
would have been a red machete. Oh my God. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, the drone shot is getting a lot of talk, you know, around Devon this week as well, where there's that, like, you know, talk about another AMC show. It's like Heisenberg in the crawl space, as like the camera is zooming out on his sprawled out body, just as he is like in dire, dire straits. But doesn't that feel like that's like the messianic look at Devon Pinto? Doesn't he look like the chosen one in that image?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you talk about this shot of Devon. This is a question for us from Felipe, who we got to meet in New York for the Know-It-Alls. And he says, first off, that he gets all the hype about the Wiggler hug after meeting you. He says it was magical. Nice. You're a real Holy Wayne.
I just hug your pain away. It's not working for the toe. Yeah. Still not. I'm hugging the toe pretty tight. It still hurts.
But second, hurt. Felipe says, as a big Lost fan, I want to ask you a question about the Devon drone shot. If Devon is to Survivor as Jack Shepard is to Lost, what do the rest of the tribe mates represent?
Oh my God. So now we have to cast everyone.
We don't need to map it, but do you think that, is there any similarity? Could we see Devon as a Jack Shepard type figure?
Not for nothing. That just reminded me of a tweet that I received from Joe Brochaccio, who responded to my Devon Pinto Walking Dev gif with an image of Norman Reedus as Daryl Dixon sprawled out on the ground next to his motorcycle with an aerial shot that looks very similar to the shot of Devon Pinto. I'll IM this to you so you can verify. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I could see the Jack Shepard in Devon. Not to like diss Jack Shepard too much, but I do feel like Devon's a lot more chill than Jack was. Like chill is not something I would assign to Jack any day of the week. He even really kind of looks, I hate to insult him here, but he looks a lot more Paulo than Jack Shepard.
Okay. Well, we've talked about the walking dev shot, but there was another piece of Devon footage that I'd love to get your take on. Josh, did you watch this week's Secret Scenes?
I did not watch this week.
Okay, great. This is perfect because the Survivor producers had a chance to catch up with Devon after the Survivor merge feast, and it does appear that Devon did get to try out one of the classic Outback Big Bloke beers, which he's holding in this video. Here is Devon from post-merge feast.
Just perfect bliss right now. This is like the most beautiful moment of my life. Just to go from such a low this morning to feeling like I was about to die, to being with all these amazing people, finally getting to meet everyone and just being all together with such happiness, golden happiness.
Golden happiness.
I'm ecstatic. I'm making the merge inspire. That's a landmark.
Hashtag drunk Devon is happening.
Oh, man. I did feel like you were getting a lot of drunk confessionals from like the post feast. Like I felt like people got their golden happiness on for sure. I think there's a lot of golden happiness to be had around, man, I don't even know the name of the merge tribe. Solawa, something like
yeah,
that.
Is it Solewa?
Solewa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
someone can check the pronunciation on that. But yeah, no, I think that you're probably seeing a lot of people just kind of like slurring their words there just a touch.
Yeah.
But in terms of Devon, like I feel like, you know, Wiggler crush aside and haha, very funny, even though it's true. I do feel like doesn't it feel like Devon's in a good spot here? Like, I feel like Devon is in a good spot in the game right now, where we do have the Hurstlers together and they are up against the Healers. Devon seems to be a key cog in building that alliance, where you see him talking to Ben, you see him talking to Lauren. These are people he doesn't have a relationship with really outside of Lauren. Like with Ben, like he's just meeting this guy for the first time, and I think he's forging some stuff there. Don't you feel like he is being positioned a little bit more as somebody who could be in for a good run here? Like, I feel like we could be talking about, I don't know, I feel like we could be talking about Devon in the finale, you know, and not just because he looks so good on the jury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly possible. There's nothing that is you know, pointing against him in terms of what he's doing. I thought he was a little bit out in front, and I was actually surprised to see him take more of the strategic lead in terms of getting all of the Hurstlers together. But other than that, I thought he was doing pretty good.
But I think that, you know, a lot of that was, it was a lot of a lot of it. It felt to me like it was like social play and a lot of like getting to know you and like, let's just talk about what's obviously in our interest. Like, it didn't feel aggressive to me. Like, it felt like a really chill way of bringing this group together. And I didn't feel like he was the only driver in this by any stretch of the imagination. I think that a lot of these people must have recognized that it just makes a lot of sense for us to knock out a healer right now. Like, we should probably be targeting some healers at the moment. But I liked that the show was representing Devin as a mover and a shaker in that regard. If you're trying to watch Devin as somebody who could be considered a real serious contender here, and yeah, he is, you know, certainly one of the most physical looking guys in the group here, but you also have Cole here who is still in the mix, and I think that he's got to be a bigger target at the moment than Devin by, you know, every stretch of the imagination. Does he have a place to hide quite as much if Cole is gone? And then it's really, you know, it's Devin and Ben and JP are the most physical dudes left in the game. Is that where Devin starts to be the first person you're looking at to make a move against? I don't know. But, you know, for the near term, at least, I feel pretty confident that Devin should be here for the next, like, at least like three or so episodes, I think.
Somebody else who I think is in a really interesting spot here at the merge is Lauren, who is somebody that I don't know if either of us gave her a big shot coming into this season, but here she is right in the middle of things. She is the swing vote with Ben, but her vote was the one that seemed like it was a little more in flux in the episode. Do you feel like that she's ending up in a good spot here moving forward, or do you think that she's somebody who's probably not long for this world once the healers are gone?
So at Know-It-Alls this week and at the after party, when I would talk to people and, you know, I would get asked this question a decent amount, which was, who's surprising you the most based on your impressions of them in the preseason when you talk to them versus how it's coming out now, like how it's playing out and how these people are being portrayed? And Lauren was my answer every time in the preseason. And I think I said this in First One Out, that like I really felt like Lauren was somebody who couldn't win Survivor. She struck me as somebody who just wasn't going to gravitate towards the game really well, maybe wasn't going to be super cutthroat about things, when necessary, wasn't going to necessarily be able to lie really well, even by her own admission in our Two Truths and a Lie portion, which she flubbed. So I thought Lauren was, a First One Out contender had the Hustlers gone to Tribal first. And I really felt, you know, leaving Fiji, I really felt that Lauren was probably going to be on that pre-jury vacation, and wildly wrong about that. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I feel like the way that Lauren has been portrayed on the show has been really, really positive. And I think my hot take about Lauren Rimmer is I think that she's got, in honor of the Outback Steakhouse, I think she's got Sandra Diaz-Twine upside.
Whoa.
Where I think that Lauren, and certainly I'm not like trying to say that she's, you know, on the same level as the queen, she'd have to win twice to even be in that conversation. But I think that there is something Sandra-esque to the way that Lauren plays, where it's a little bit of that anybody but me. And beyond that, I think even more than that is her demeanor around camp, where Lauren seems to just like kind of be a straight shooter. She tells it like it is. She is honest about how she's feeling. It seems like people are good with that. She has that scene a couple of episodes ago where Cole is trying to talk to everybody and Lauren just keeps talking. And Cole is like, you're always talking. And Lauren's like, OK, I'll stop. You do you, boo boo, basically. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like she's been allowed to commentate on Cole, you know, being a nincompoop, which certainly jives with what we're seeing in the Cole goofy edit. And certainly Cole's goofy antics by a lot of people's observations coming off of the show in these exit interviews. And I think that Lauren is now in a really good spot, at least for the time being, has gravitated to the Hurstlers Alliance, even though the Yawa 5 was going to be a thing and it's not going to be a thing anymore. And I think I'm really curious to see how the show handles Lauren in this upcoming episode. Like, what is it going to look like when we come back and we, you know, get back from Tribal Council and the healers are going to be feeling burned by the fact that Jessica is gone, and the Yawas, the ex-Yawas especially, have reason to feel burned by Ben and Lauren. Are we going to see Lauren's perspective on that vote and why she did what she did? And if so, is it going to be like a positive, sensible explanation of why she did what she did? And if we do get something like that, I'm going to feel fairly good about Lauren as a serious winner contender, because I think that she's liked. I think she's in a good position, and she's proven that she is willing to fight really, really hard for herself in this game and is willing to cut her losses when it makes the most sense. So I'm a lot more impressed with Lauren Rimmer than I expected to be this deep into the game, for sure.
No, she's been really great. I think that she doesn't suffer fools either, where we saw her in her interactions with Patrick, and she was not going to have any of his nonsense. And I think that she's going to, in the same way that Sandra might, basically shut down anybody who is like acting up in front of her. And I do feel like that there is, while it's a little counterintuitive in terms of like, oh, you want to be nice and, you know, pretend tend to just like patronize everybody, that it, a little bit like that, that's not always as respected as the person that's going to say, you know what, shut the hell up, that you did, you are on my last nerve. And people say, okay, well, that person at least is real,
somebody likes it, you know, when you can get loud too, what the F, like if your personality suits that, I think it can work. It can work if like you're being real and if you know where somebody stands. And I think Lauren, she seems like somebody where you know where she stands. Clearly the healers didn't have the greatest read on Lauren, but even Jessica in her exit press was talking about how like Ben and Lauren made the right play. Like, it made a lot of sense for them to do what they did. And I think that if people can, you know, if coming out of this tribal council, if people are not angry at Lauren, if there isn't like a big scene where people are like suddenly really furious with Ben and Lauren, and if we're getting to see, you know, if we're getting to see Lauren getting to comment on the move that she made, or at least if we're getting to have like a Lauren moment early on in this next episode, I'm going to feel really good about where Lauren Rimmer stands. But all I'm hoping is at the very least that both Lauren and Joe Mena last long enough to like have a real battle, to have a real interaction. Cause I feel like those two personalities feel destined to clash, and we really haven't seen anything of that yet.
I hope so. Can I ask you about Dr. Mike as well? I think he's somebody who's in an interesting position here in the middle. There's an opportunity, it looks like, to potentially try to add to the numbers of the healers, or he also potentially, I think, should jump ship and distance himself from the healers. Knowing what you know about Dr. Mike, which way do you think he goes?
I gotta be honest, I'm concerned about Dr. Mike. I'm very worried about
Dr. Mike. In real life or in the game?
In reality, because the man has tweeted at us with the pretense that he's still trapped on an island and he needs our help now.
Right.
And that is weird.
Right. And he said, he tweeted about like, what do I do? I'm on an island.
He tweeted, please help. Stranded on an island, betrayed by friends, surrounded by enemies. What am I supposed to do? You call yourself the know-it-alls. Help me. Hashtag phone a friend. And he tweeted this at Suri, at Adam Klein, at Boston Rob, at his boy Ethan Zahn, at you, at Steven, and at me. And then he posted a picture of himself where he is in a kitchen. So unless like the Salewa tribe got themselves a kitchen from that Outback deal, like, I feel like you're home, man. I feel like you're in Florida. Like, I don't know that we can help you the way that you might need to be helped.
So I politely favorited that tweet, and Dr. Mike,
did I? Yes.
Yeah, he called me out. He said, I don't just need you to like my post. I need your help. What would you do? And I replied to him, Mike, you're just having a psychotic break. It's going to be okay.
Yes, I told him that I would consult my colleague, Dr. Weigert, on the podcast this week. And I said, stand by and hang in there. Look, I love Dr. Mike. I think he's great. I think Dr. Mike should be okay for a little while. I mean, last week, didn't I say, like, I'm worried about the healers, but not Jessica, and then Jessica went home. So I hope this isn't the kiss of death, that Dr. Mike is now going to be the person who goes home next week. Look, I think it'll take a miracle for it not to be somebody of the four remaining healers to go next. Like, I think Cole, Desi, Joe, Mike, it's one of those four is my feeling.
But unless I think he's the least likely of the four.
I think so, too, because he's in good with Ben. He's in good with Lauren. I think that the threat level with Joe is really obvious and of Joe's making. And he just burned his idol, even worse than he burns his stakes, which is blasphemy. I'm furious about that. Deuces to the way Joe Mena eats food is what I will say. Unreal. Unbelievable, Joe. We're going to have to talk about that somewhere down the line. But I think that, like, Joe, there's a real argument for why these people would want to come after Joe, unless he can find himself an idol, which is certainly not out of the question given his past behavior. I think that he is a really likely target right now. And then Cole is super physical and rubbing people very, very wrong. And Desi is really physical as well, having just won an immunity idol. So I think that those three, their threat levels feel more obvious than Mike's. Mike has an idol. Mike has decent relationships right now. Mike Zahalski's got to chill. Mike has to just relax. You better relax, right, bro? Just keep it cool, keep it calm, keep it collective, and ride out like the next two inevitable healer votes. You know, two healers are probably up next, would be my bet. And I think you just got to let that happen. And then I think the game opens itself up to Mike a little bit more, where he could be somebody that's working with Ben, that's working with Lauren, that's working with these other heroes and hustlers, with the Hurstlers. I think that Mike could have a real shot there. And I don't think that it's completely out of the realm of possibility that that Mike could really ride this thing forward with Ben and Lauren a good bit. So I feel okay for Mike right now. Not in reality, but in the game, I feel
right.
Like
I think that there is a Danny Boatwright, Chris Daughtry path for him. And if he just keeps a low profile, he has an idol. If they get down to the point where he's the last healer left, he could play his idol. So I think that there are moves for him to be making, and should be a fun part of this season moving forward. Okay, Josh, we're going to start to head into the wand off. Before we get to that, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Blue Apron. Of course, Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. And you know that, look, we're not as hungry as the survivors. We're not walking around like Dev, like people are going to think that we're a zombie walking around. But at the end of the day, we're all looking for a great dinner, and Blue Apron is going to help people make incredible home-cooked meals in the comfort of their own kitchen. By the way, Josh, I got a Blue Apron cookbook. We had some Blue Apron representatives at the last Know-It-All show in New York.
Oh, no kidding. What's in there? What are you looking at? Any chocolate from down under analogs? Like any?
Oh, yeah. Plenty of stuff. You like steaks?
I love steaks.
You don't need to go out to dinner when you be making seared steaks and garlic butter with oven fries and romaine salad. Don't let Joe Mena end up cooking that steak for you, though. He doesn't know what he's doing, but
unbelievable.
Roasted
unbelievable
chicken, fall vegetables with cranberry and ginger compote. Last week we had the soy marinated chicken tenders, very easy to put together, had a incredible sauce as well on the Blue Apron.
Carter have approved of those sauces?
Yes, incredible sauces. Not too much sauce like Patrick Bolton might be worried about. You could choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you will never get bored. It's easy as well. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients that can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So check out this week's menu. Get $30 off your first order with free shipping going to blueapron.com/Rob. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Rob. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
And things like that?
Yeah. Okay.
Wow, perfect use. Perfect use. Perfect use. Love tri-tip. Love tri-tip.
Yeah, oh yeah, make a tri-tip salad as well. Okay. Oh my God. All right, Josh. Are you ready?
Really quickly before we move on into the wand off, there's something that I've really wanted to ask you about that we didn't get to talk about. Are we really going to let nail mail go unchecked? Like, we're not going to talk about the fact that nail mail is a thing that's on Survivor right now?
Nail mail?
Nail mail. Like, what I am towards Keith Nail, what many of us are towards Keith Nail. There's a hidden scroll in the nails. There's nail mail on Survivor right now.
Wow. I didn't even realize that.
There's nail mail.
Yeah. Okay. Is it West Nail Mail or Keith Nail Mail?
If it's West Nail Mail, that is not an advantage. if it's Keith Nail Mail, and if you unearth that from the pile of nails and Keith gets to sub in for you at the next immunity challenge, that's just terrific.
Right. I guess the Survivor producers were torn between the nail mail or the cinnamon stick to the plan.
The cinnamon stick to the plan would have been great as well. Oh, my God.
That was another thing
discussed at the after party at Know It Alls. This is what you're missing if you don't
What was discussed? Cinnamon sticks?
No, we talked about nail mail for a while. Cinnamon sticks to the plan didn't come up, but that's why you're here, Rob. You're faster than I am. You're faster on your toes, certainly this week.
Glad I could bring something to the conversation. All right, Josh, are you ready to wand off?
I am so ready. I am pumped. This is the part of the podcast where I really can dedicate myself to just icing my toe.
All right, let's do it. Of course, if you want to check out now, this is the time to jump off. I get it if you guys say that you think this is the worst part of the show. We still love you.
Woo!
Here we go.
Here comes the music. The parody's exclusive. What's with Wanda's confusion? Who'll win this week? Which song's drums are most unique? Cause the heroes wanna play, and the healers wanna save, while the hustlers throwing shade. It's the wand off, and the listeners have a say.
Yes.
All day. Muffin surely loves a bay. It's the wand off.
All right.
Yes. Oh, yes. Love that wand off music.
Got that wand off music happening.
How many Ryans long is the wand off theme song? It feels like a lot of Ryans.
I'm not Chrissy. I think it's 900 Ryans long.
Yeah, 900 Ryans long. Everyone's being so hard on Chrissy. Everyone's got to chill out. Everyone's got to calm down. She's just playing Survivor. She's just playing the game.
Yeah.
She knows math. Everyone's got to know she's an actuary at this point. What else was she going to say? You know, she's good at math. Everyone relax. Chrissy Hoffbeck's going to Chrissy.
Which part? You think that Chrissy is overanalyzed at every turn?
I think she's getting it's a little bit harsh on the Chrissy, I think. I think Chrissy's playing well. You know, I think that maybe she's rubbing some people wrong. But, you know, I think that she's playing a good, aggressive, calculated game. And let's see who she makes it to the end with. And, you know, if she makes it that far and if she has like people that you just can't vote for next to Chrissy, like, what are you going to do? Chrissy's going to win. So, you know, I feel like she's doing her thing as well as she possibly can. I feel like people are hard on the Chrissy right now.
OK. All right. So, Josh, let's go back to last week's results. Of course, the tabulator has put them all together from last week's show. Coming in third place with 15.34% of the vote, it was Homeless Tyson with Princess Ali. Will not be the second Aladdin-themed winner of the wand off this season.
Had it been Princess Ali reprised just straight all the way through, full Jafar, I feel like that would have worked. I feel like that could have done it.
Okay, coming in second place with 26.19% of the vote was Alex G with Ali, I'm Good, which I have to say was stuck in my head for a few days last week.
Can you play a little bit of that? Do you have that handy?
Nah, nah, Ali, I'm good. I could vote for JP, but I probably should not. I got a Chrissy at home. We met some heroes here.
It's very catchy.
Yeah, it's very catchy. Really catchy. It's really, really nice.
And the winner of the week six wand off are the back-to-back reigning champions, Jenny and Colin, without Ali.
his kid a task at. We just lost a bad bitch. Her name is Allie, and she goes way back with Ginger Patrick. He can move your mattress, but that didn't stop that bomb from cracking. Joby, just a...
All right, so that was last week's winner. Jenny and Colin have a second ticket back into the final Wandoff. But more importantly, they block somebody else from getting into the final Wandoff.
That's crazy. That's wild. I mean, we are moving dangerously close to the territory that we're just going to be in for a full-on Jenny and Colin concert when we get to the Wandoff. Yeah, mixtape for sure. No,
we'll perform at the finale.
Okay. No, well-earned, well-earned. Listen, you know, they're bringing it.
All right, well, Josh, this week, I will tell you, we will have a new champion. That because Jenny and Colin took the week off to rest on their laurels.
Smart.
And so we will have a newly crowned winner of the Wandoff this week. And so this week we have more honorable mentions and fewer finalists. So just three finalists make it into the round of voting this week. So
wow, why? Why is it slimming down? Why are we, I thought we had a good thing here, Rob.
Well, sometimes, Josh, that the entries that we hear the whole version, like sometimes that there's really just a moment in the honorable mentions.
Okay, all right. I get what you're saying. I'm reading between the lines, and I'm here for these moments.
All right. So first off, we have an entry that was a little late for last week, but I thought it was still worthy of your attention. This is a compilation from a few artists. We've got Tri-Tip Salad, JT Payne, and Ludacris Daughtry here with this special dedication to Allie.
Allie doesn't win no matter what. Jessica's right behind her, time on the show is up. And we get back if there is any idol. Josephina's hand goes up.
Up!
And it stay there!
Okay.
That's great. Love the auto-tune. Anytime you can auto-tune the news, it's a nice thing to do's. Deuces. It's a nice thing to deuces.
All right. Let's kick off the merge with the official anthem of the Survivor 35 merge from Sarah.
Merge, baby, merge. Chrissy Sildero, merge.
I love it. Was it JP Inferno?
No, Chrissy is so thorough.
Chrissy is really thorough. She truly is. She's very thorough. Yeah. Oh, that's great. Chrissy is thorough. Like, is that where it came from? Do you think what was the line that was arrived at first? Merge baby merge or Chrissy is thorough?
I think it was probably merge baby merge.
Chrissy is thorough is a really, really good line. So that's the moment, huh? That's a great moment. Hell of a moment.
Hell of a moment. All right. We've got two songs back to back about survivors eating the sugar. First, here's Shut Up Tim.
Sugar, yum, 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 yum. I'm eating sugar, yum, 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 yum. I hope we merge soon because I'm tired of licking this spoon.
And then here's Real Weird Martha with another adaptation of Sugar.
Sugar, yes please, we could use one of Randy's cookies.
Oh my God, turn out to be nice indeed.
All right, everybody's favorite dessert from the Outback gets honored here by Tegan.
And Joe said, is there a love and cake to ease my hunger? Jeff said, no, there's something better. Outback has a chocolate thunder. Chocolate thunder, thunder from down under.
Oh my God. Oh my God. You lunatics. You're all so crazy. You're all so crazy. And I love it. It's beautiful.
This one is from Eddie J and is a special request for Tyler Weigert.
Jessica Johnston. Johnston.
Wait, you got to play the belt out. Like, the belt out's got to be there, right? Oh, come on. How could you not? It's not a Johnston unless you're going all the way. Well, I guess I should say, I don't want to go. I apologize. All right. Nice.
All right. Keeping with the Jessica theme, here's Justin with the Outcast twist.
I'm sorry, Miss Johnson. Cole made you feel like he would not try to eat too much or tell secrets to everyone he touched. I'm sorry, Miss Johnson. Wanda, this blind side's for real.
I like it.
All right. Here is KX with an old classic from Nat King Cole.
Oh, God.
L is for the way I lick my thumb. O is the face you make when you come to my previous. V is virginity, which belongs to Jesse. E is everybody gunning for the healers when I thought.
A classic one. Yeah.
All right. And then one last one. This is from a new artist on the scene. They call him Hilsa Beck.
We hear from Mike and we talk to Joe. I got real mad, so I asked Jeff Probst. You're pulling out stops for Outback Steakhouse, and I don't even get confessionals. Idols and sand, and just drop your pants and just drop your pants. Things like that. Got you catch me for my confessional. Things like that.
And things like that.
I was gonna say that there's no way that that's actually JP Hilsenbeck, because there are just too many diverse lyrics in there, and then it got true to
things like that.
All right, now so we've whet your appetite here at the Outback Wand House.
Oh my god, yeah, I could definitely eat three desserts and two steaks right now after that. Like, I'm hungry for some Wand Offs.
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah. All right. Here we go. So it's a top three this week. It's the top three.
Top three. Top two thirds?
Yes. Top two thirds. All right. So here we go. Here's our first entry into the Wand Off proper. This is from Alex G with a little Panic at the Disco. And I'm not talking about Star Trek Discovery.
Niche. Oh, you're getting your stink onto this guy's Wanda.
Oh, well, imagine as I'm pacing the merge feast at the Outback Steakhouse. The tribe can't help but to hear. No, they can't help but hear Chrissy's exchanging of words. What a beautiful ribeye. What a beautiful ribeye, says a starving Ben to a Jeff.
Yes,
roast.
But what a shame. What a shame the poor Cole's bride is a virgin.
Joe chimed in with the haven't you heroes ever heard of playing your goddamn idol. It's much better to face these kinds of votes with immunity, just like Queen Desi. Cole chimed in, haven't you hustlers ever heard of eating the goddamn cinnamon sticks? It'd be much better for Jess to face this vote with that advantage that's wrapped in all the nails. Do sad.
That was Alex.
Deuces indeed. I love deuces. I think that it's great that that's in the Survivor lexicon now.
Yes, a lot of pathos there from Alex.
Oh, it was really well sung. It was just heartfelt. I liked it.
Okay,
it made me want a ribeye.
All right, here is number two. This Deuce. Comes to us by one of the great listeners who is at the live know-it-alls. Let's give it up for Isabel with a special song for Jessica.
I kissed a coal and I liked it. The taste of those cinnamon sticks. Kiss the coal just to try it. I hope that Corinne don't mind it. The
Coast Travel Council got voted out, made the merch but didn't make the jolly. I kissed the pole and I liked it. Still a virgin.
Oh my God. It's a hell of a punchline.
And then our third and final entry into the Wandoff comes to us from Jason, who was very excited about Outback being back. Here's number three.
Oh my God, we're merged again. Heroes, healers, and hustlers in. Gonna bring the merge feast, show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Is there a ribeye steak? Yeah. Is the potato baked? Yeah. How about the lava cake? Yeah. Chocolate thunder from down under. Better get three of them now, everybody. Yeah. Stop your body. Yeah. Everybody. Stuff your body right. Outback's back, alright.
Loving those Outback
people. The authentic chocolate thunder from down under.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh my God, the Outback Street Boys did it again. Zomagod, Ermagod, they're back again. Oh my God, that's great. That's
all right,
great.
So we will have the poll up on the post for this episode of The Wiggle Room.
I still can't believe that that Hilsebeck is not even a contender here in the official Wandoff. I mean, that was fairly special.
Very special.
Not to put my finger on the scales here, but I would make a move. I would make a petition.
A write-in?
I would write in Hilsebeck, and frankly, shut up, Tim killed me this week. I mean, his rendition of Sugar was quite nice, I thought.
Yeah, sometimes just remember, sometimes I'm just giving you the right portion size. you might get sick if you had the whole thing.
I know, yeah. No, you're always good like that. Portion control is definitely one of your strengths. Oh my God, that was great. Oh, I'm full. This is a very filling Wiggle Room this week.
Yeah, this was a really fun episode. Just going through the rundown, we had the Jeff. Oh,
what's up?
We did forget to get to one thing that we never brought in Nick Meyer out.
Oh my God!
All right, hold on. Let me see if he's still there.
Oh man! That's so awkward. Oh, we completely forgot Nick Majorano.
I know, we had so many things to get to.
Oh God, I ran over my toe, and I think that we just got caught up in the know-it-alls discussion, and we just completely forgot Nick. Hold on. Oh my God, he's texted me like 500 times. Just pick up. Why aren't you picking up? What is this? Is this some kind of a joke? I have a voicemail. I have 16 missed calls from Nick Majorano plus a voicemail. 16 missed calls. That's more desserts than anyone could eat. All right, hang on. I'm just going to hold my phone up to the microphone and press play. Oh,
are
God,
you
I'm
sure
nervous.
This is going to be family friendly? What are you going to say?
I don't know. We can always edit. We can edit it if it's bad. But there we go. Press and play.
What the hell, man? I've been texting you. I've been calling you. Pick up. Seriously, if I ever see you out on location and I know the joke is like, Nick's never going to be as back. Why would they ever ask Nick back? No, but seriously, if I ever see you out there, I'm going to take your silly tape recorder and I'm going to throw it in the Fijian Sea. And then guess what? You're going to go running after it. And I'm going to go running after you. And then I'm going to drown you. And you're going to be dead. And the most satisfying part about all that is your last meal will be that crappy Fijian pizza. Your legacy will be crappy Fijian pizza. So quit playing games, Wiggler. Quit playing games with my heart. Backstreet Boys.
Whoa!
You are dead.
Oh my God. I mean, is it possible that we had him patched in?
Oh my God, we're merged again.
Zermagod, Nick Majorano. Wow, unbelievable. Nick Majorano either was actually listening into our call this entire time or is a prophet and was able to had the inside scoop that the Outback Street Boys were going to be playing this week. That's uncomfortable. My life was just threatened on a podcast.
Right. Well, let's hear the audio recording.
Do I really laugh like that?
Ha, ha, ha. That was you?
Again. Ha, ha, ha. Do I sound like that? Is that what I sound like?
I never noticed that before.
It's a little weasel laugh. Like, you know, I didn't think that was me. Well, that's uncomfortable. This was supposed to be the armistice between the wiggle room and the mayo jar.
No, anything but.
I think it's escalated. Well, this is as good a time as any to say, like, clearly we're never going to have Nick Majorano on the podcast here on the Wiggle Room. I feel like that's probably not an option anymore. I'll text him. I'll see. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine he's going to want to be on here. You know what? I had him
here a couple of weeks ago. He was lovely.
Well, not towards me.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying some bad things there. I remember some comments about interviews that he had some interviews he wanted to arrange, and I didn't quite like the sound of that. At all and things like that. All right. Well, no Nick on the Wiggle Room. No Nick ever on the Wiggle Room. I feel like this is a good opportunity, Rob. I think this was a great show. I had fun. Did you have fun?
Lots of fun.
I think like you and I, let's just ride this out for a little while. I think like we've had some great guests on the show, but like I feel like really like very nervous about like what inviting that into our world could mean, given the way that we were just threatened by Nick. I think maybe Wiggle Room's just like going to be a you and me operation for the next little while. Is that okay?
That sounds fine. We have Wanda as a permanent guest.
We do have Wanda as a permanent guest, of course. Wanda, of course, submitted her own Wandoff. It's paparazzi, obviously.
Okay.
It's the Wanderazzi continues. It's
all
in the
right, we'll play you out with that. All right.
In the credits.
So we've got a great week on the podcast coming up, of course, that we will get back to a regular know-it-alls. Stephen Fishback and I are going to be back in the studio this Wednesday night. And then on Thursday, we will have Todd Herzog back on the podcast. It's been a minute since we've had Todd on, and looking forward to hearing everything that he has to say. I believe Todd's last appearance on the podcast was towards the end of Survivor Blood versus Water. So
we're
closing in on like 8 seasons. Not so great with math off the top of my head, but it's been
how
a
many
while.
Ryans has it been since Todd has been on the podcast?
400 Ryans since he's last been on.
That's low. It's a lot of Ryans. We're like talking millions of Ryans at this point.
Yeah. And then Brett LaBelle on the voicemail podcast this weekend. So very much looking forward to everything that comes out of the second week of the merge in Survivor 35. Of course, you could hear more of Josh Wiggler and myself back together on post-show recaps with our latest Game of Thrones rewatch. We will close out the first season of Game of Thrones over on post-show recaps. Plus, Josh and Antonio Mazzaro have some special Mr. Robot coverage coming at some point.
Coming your way. It's taking a little bit longer than we realized, but it's coming. We promise.
You're waiting for Nick Majorano to weigh in?
He kind of is Mr. Robot, isn't he? I mean, Wanda's really my Mr. Robot, but... let's be honest. No, we've got some Mr. Robot podcasts coming your way. Does seem like we've missed the episode 5 window, but we will have episode 5 coverage in conjunction with our episode 6 coverage coming up. So good Mr. Robot podcast, really good Mr. Robot podcast coming your way very, very soon.
All right. And then, of course, Josh and I will have Walking Dead feedback, and Jessica Lease and I will have Walking Dead episode recaps every Sunday night after each new episode of The Walking Dead, all on postshowrecaps.com, plus Curb Your Enthusiasm coverage, SNL recaps, much more, postshowrecaps.com. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Wiggle Room exclusive time. The nurse was voted out, and you should know her last name's Johnston, and her first name's Jessie, cause she's from Kentucky, was the winner pick of the unlucky host named Robert Zesty. Everybody dined on Outback Steakhouse just like Sandra Diaz Twine, but it was the last supper for the nurse named Johnston Jesse. Shirk out. See ya next week.
Actually, that was the best one.
Shirk out.